I'm going to start a conversation about gender differences. It's a complicated issue and one that requires some nuance. And about the time that you think you've got it all figured out, you come across a data point that makes things more complicated than what you hoped. So I want to talk about ultimately where I'm heading are the ultimate counseling questions that arise from gender differences, and also to make some suggestions based on our study. But I want to set it up by answering the initial question of what started this conversation? Why is it that we started moving down this road to begin with? I mentioned the email. So here was essentially, with some details changed and that sort of thing, essentially the question. My husband saw pornography when he was 9, started masturbating at 11, became sexually active at 14, started visiting strip clubs at 19. Even after we were married, he had continued in sexual sin. And in addition to this sin is the ongoing expectations he has for me. It seems as if he is never sexually satisfied. Is that just the way he is? Aren't men more inclined to sex than women by their very nature? Is this something I have to accept and get happy about? Those are important questions, aren't they? Diane Landberg, in a recent book on abuse, quotes a Barna study that suggests 60% of those who identify, self-identify as Christian men, 60% of men and 15% of women view porn at least once a month. Is this discrepancy a function of maleness, societal acceptance, or something else? Now, just so I'm clear, I'm not going to try to counsel that case, right? There's a lot of things in that scenario that need to be handled. The wickedness of the man, the cries of the woman. I mean, we have to deal with a lot of different things. Our job, the purpose of this session, is to answer one question. Is that the way he is because he's a man? And she and women like her are not asking trivial questions. That's not a trivial question. Because this man that they're asking about, this particular woman, but lots of other women would ask something similar. This man is their husband, their brother, father, best friend, most trusted advisor. So even if the victim is not looking to excuse his sin, she's honestly wondering if things can honestly be different. The wife could, in this scenario, divorce her husband and move on, but she doesn't want that. She doesn't want it for her, she doesn't want it for him, she doesn't want it for their children, and she doesn't want it to set a generational pattern. She's actually asking some very important questions. And I think the way that those questions are answered will influence the way that we minister to her, or whoever ministers to her is going to minister to her. Or let's just, for sake of argument, take a slightly different scenario. With this one, we're going, you're not going to like this one as much, but that's okay. My wife is emotional. Like crazy emotional. She cries over the most meaningless things. I mean, she cries at Hallmark movies, despite the fact that she knows those actors and actresses have a history of failed relationships. And then, oh my word, one of our kids leaves a dish in the sink after she's cleaned everything up. And have you ever heard of Mount St. Helens? She's driving me nuts. I've started working late. He's honestly confessing. I've started working late because I don't want to be around her drama. I organize things with our boys, so I don't have to be around her. She is exhausting and occasionally toxic. Is that because she's a woman? Are all women like this? Now, that story might make you a little angry, because you, as a group of ladies, are tired of people, especially Christian men, telling you that you're all emotionally unstable and weak. You're tired of being asked to act like a man in order to be successful in a man's world. You see, what happens in the story will largely be dependent on the advice that the person receives. It will impact the nuances of his thoughts with her and away from her. It will impact how he attempts to love her. What if he's talking about his mom, his sister, or a trusted woman in his small group? What if he speaks to another man who tells him that he needs to leave before he goes insane? What if he believes that her emotional condition makes her blind to wise decisions, and therefore believes that she needs to be treated like a child because she's never really grown out of infancy, because she continues to use her tears rather than her words to communicate? And we all have said that to our toddlers, have we not? Use your words, right? Use your words. So the father, or the husband in this case, is like, use your words. You're acting like a two-year-old. See, I think these are real issues. And how our theology impacts them is going to impact the ministry that we then give. Now, many of you ladies, I don't know how all of you decided to take track six, but many of you are here because you do counsel women. You counsel a lot. And you know that those stereotypes are real in the sense that you've heard those before, maybe you even believed them. But you also know that it's not always like that. Some women complain that their husbands deprive them sexually. I've had a woman tell me that her husband has refused to be intimate with her more than twice a year since they got married. My wife is the farthest thing from a drama queen. She's not drama about anything. Hair, nope. Makeup, nope. Latest fad, nope. Clothes, nope. Sports, nope. Medical emergencies, nope. Member serving a member of the family, nope. I'm the drama king in the home. Especially when medical things happen. I mean, one of our kids is choking, and I'm like, stop choking! And she's like, why don't you go relax, and I'll handle this, because I'm afraid you will kill our children. What happened? I mean, did my wife somehow miss the injection of emotional drama queen that God was handing out in the womb, and somehow she just didn't get it and I got it instead? These are real questions. So, we all clear on that? Okay, good. This is going to be the longest intro ever. Okay, so you're wondering, is he ever going to get to the point? Yes, I will eventually get there. So I want to accomplish a couple of goals. I want to ask, how does the Bible view men and women the same and different? I want us to consider how individuality should impact a discussion. So for example, when I think about my identity, my most important identity is that I'm a Christian, but there are other identities too. I'm a man, I'm a husband, I'm a father, and I'm also an individual, a person, with a unique set of strengths and weaknesses given to me by my Creator. I'm told in the Bible that God exhorts us in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, to act like men. He wasn't just writing to men. He was writing to the church. And he said, act like men. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, he describes his ministry to the Thessalonians as a nursing mother tenderly caring for her children. So apparently the Apostle Paul could say, act like men. And he could say, I'm going to nurture you and care for you like a nursing mother cares for her baby. And apparently it was okay to be both. So I want to consider then how we should minister understanding these realities. Now I have a couple of presuppositions that and I don't have time to defend them all from the scriptures. I'm just going to assume them. You can decide how much you want to dig into them, but